The Kalinga Prize for the Popularization of Science, donated by Mr. B. Patnaik of India, and offered annually by the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, has been awarded for the year 1957 to Bertrand Russell, British philosopher, scientist and writer. The ceremony was held in UNESCO House in Paris, in the presence of several hundred guests, with television and film cameras whirring, and press photographers and radio reporters from many countries crowding around. On the rostrum facing the microphones with Bertrand Russell were the ambassadors of India and of the United Kingdom, the Director General of UNESCO, Dr. Luther Evans, and Professor Pierre Auger, the Director of UNESCO's Department of Natural Sciences. The Ambassador of India in France spoke first.
Mr. Director General, Lord Russell, Your Excellency, ladies and gentlemen, I feel greatly honored to be associated with this function, awarding the Kalinga Prize for 1957 to Mr. Bertrand Russell. In the case of a person so eminent as Bertrand Russell, the award is more of a tribute than a prize. It is unnecessary for me to speak of the services of Bertrand Russell to the cause of knowledge. His writings vary from pure mathematics to short stories, taking in their stride philosophy, the nature of force in the state, the theory of education, apart, of course, from numerous volumes devoted to the popularization of science. But it is not only as a thinker that Bertrand Russell has been known all over the world for the last 50 years. He has been the courageous and unbending champion of noble causes, fights for which he has often had to pay a very heavy price. No one will deny that Bertrand Russell has stamped his mark on his age. For over 50 years, his work has been one of the major influences that has helped and molded the mind of youth in the civilized world. In India, we have a word for such men. We call them Jagadgurus, world educators. No man that I can think of has performed this function so nobly, so courageously as Bertrand Russell has. He has also been what we call a Yugapravartaka, or a maker of the age, for but few can claim to have influenced generations in their thinking on such a variety of topics as he has done. To one who has been awarded prizes, medals, and other honors by so many countries and so many institutions, we cannot claim to do any special honor by the award of the Kalinga Prize. It is offered to him, as I said before, as a tribute to his great work devoted to the cause of knowledge, of science, and more especially to the popularization of scientific knowledge for which the Kalinga Prize has been established. Thank you.
Now a few words about the origin of the Kalinga Prize. Kalinga is the name of a foundation which contributes to the economic development and social and cultural progress of the Indian state of Orissa. The foundation derives its name from the Kalinga Empire, which stretched over a great part of India and Indonesia. The great Indian sovereign Ashoka was the builder of this empire more than 2,000 years ago, but his campaigns gave him such a distaste for war that he spent the rest of his life working for peace. The Kalinga Prize, which was established in 1952, carries an award of £1,000 sterling. Dr. Luther Evans, Director General of UNESCO, had this to say about Mr. B. Patnaik, the donor of the prize.
He thinks that one of the greatest things that India needs and must have is the teaching of science. That is, that the industrial development of the country to raise the level of living and bring about the kind of economic system that the Indian leaders desire can happen only if there's a wide dissemination of science. You must have a wide dissemination of science because you cannot maintain an industrial system unless you have invention going on all of the time. You must have invention in order to adapt the principles of science to the conditions of the country as they exist at the moment.
Bertrand Russell then accepted the award, which was presented to him by Professor Pierre Auger, the director of UNESCO's Department of Natural Sciences.
J'ai le grand plaisir de vous donner l'enveloppe qui contient le chèque du prix.
Mr. Director, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the present occasion is one in which I am very happy to be a participant. I wish to express my warm gratitude to the jury who awarded the prize and to the donor, Mr. Patnaik. My only regret is that owing to old age, I am not able to go to India as I should have wished to do had it been possible. I am very conscious of the importance of India, both in the distant past as the inventor of the numeral zero and of the numbers which in the West are miscalled Arabic, and also as a rapidly increasing contributor to the corpus of scientific knowledge. I think that Mr. Patnaik deserves the gratitude of mankind for his recognition of the importance of popular science. There was a time when scientists looked askance at attempts to make their work widely intelligible. But in the world of the present day, such an attitude is no longer possible. The discoveries of modern science have put into the hands of governments unprecedented powers, both for good and for evil. Unless the statesmen who wield these powers have at least an elementary understanding of their nature, it is scarcely likely that they will use them wisely. And in democratic countries, it is not only statesmen, but the general public, to whom some degree of scientific understanding is necessary. To ensure wide diffusion of such understanding is by no means easy. Those who can act effectively as liaison officers between technical scientists and the public perform a work which is necessary not only for human welfare, but even for bare survival of the human race. I think that a great deal more ought to be done in this direction, in the education of those who do not intend to become scientific specialists. The Kalinga Prize is doing a great public service in encouraging those who attempt this difficult task. In my own country, and to a lesser degree in other countries of the West, culture is viewed mainly by an unfortunate impoverishment of the Renaissance tradition as something concerned primarily with literature, history, and art. A man is not considered uneducated if he knows nothing of the contributions of Galileo, Descartes, and their successors. I am convinced that all higher education should involve a course in the history of science from the 17th century to the present day, and a survey of modern scientific knowledge insofar as this can be conveyed without technicalities. While such knowledge remains confined to specialists, it is scarcely possible nowadays for nations to conduct their affairs with wisdom. There are two very different ways of estimating any human achievement. You may estimate it by what you consider its intrinsic excellence, or you may estimate it by its causal efficiency in transforming human life and human institutions. I am not suggesting that one of these ways of estimating is preferable to the other. I am only concerned to point out that they give very different scales of importance. If Homer and Aeschylus had not existed, if Dante and Shakespeare had not written a line, if Bach and Beethoven had been silent, the daily life of most people in the present day would have been much what it is. But if Pythagoras and Galileo and James Watt had not existed, the daily life not only of Western Europeans and Americans, but of Indian, Russian, and Chinese peasants would be profoundly different from what it is. And these profound changes are still only beginning. They must affect the future even more than they have already affected the present. At present, scientific technique advances like an army of tanks that have lost their drivers, blindly, relentlessly, without goal or purpose. This is largely because the men who are concerned with human values and with making life worthy to be lived are still living in imagination in the old pre-industrial world, the world that has been made familiar and comfortable by the literature of Greece. And the pre-industrial achievements of the poets and artists and composers whose works we rightly admire. The separation of science from culture is a modern phenomenon. Plato and Aristotle had a profound respect for what was known of science in their day. The Renaissance was as much concerned with the revival of science as with art and literature. Leonardo da Vinci devoted more of his energies to science than to painting. The Renaissance architects developed the geometrical theory of perspective. Throughout the 18th century, a very great deal was done to diffuse understanding of the work of Newton and his contemporaries. But from the early 19th century onwards, scientific concepts and scientific methods became increasingly abstruse, and the attempt to make them generally intelligible came more and more to be regarded as hopeless. The modern theory and practice of nuclear physicists has made evident with dramatic suddenness that complete ignorance of the world of science is no longer compatible with survival. On this ground, above all others, I am happy to be associated with the work which the Kalinga Prize exists to promote.
That address by Bertrand Russell, winner of the 1957 Kalinga Prize for the popularization of science, ended the presentation ceremony in UNESCO House, Paris.